Here we go. You got me? Hello. All right, we're good. It helps if you know where the on button is. It makes a world of difference. Let's give it up one more time for our youth this morning, please. So I can assure you it's quite nerve-wracking for them to get up in front of y'all. But I'm very thankful for their willingness to do that. And ultimately, just their willingness to show that they are worshiping our Lord and Savior. So that's what it's all about. So just a little plug for our youth. This morning, if you didn't know, it is Youth Sunday. And so any month that has five Sundays in it, the fifth Sunday, typically, we do what is called Youth Sunday. And so they help organize the worship service. They picked all the songs. They did the ushering, the greeting this morning. They did the announcements, and I get to preach. And so I asked them this morning, and even last couple weeks, as we went through who was doing what, and I said, all right, now who's going to preach? Not a single person raised their hand. I can't imagine why. But then this morning, I asked, all right, who's going to preach? And McKenna said that she would preach. I don't think I'll put you through that this morning. So, all right. Just a little bit of information about our youth. We're called Havoc, which if you have ever had teenagers and you get a bunch of them together, there's going to be a lot of havoc. But Havoc also stands for having a view of Christ. And our goal is to try to help teach and show them how to live their lives in this world while having a view of Christ. There's a lot of distractions, I think we could all attest to. So it's very important for us to have that solid foundation of Jesus Christ, especially for our youth. So youth in the mornings on Sunday, if you're not aware, Sunday morning is 9 o'clock. We meet over in the Havoc House, which is the former parsonage, just right out these doors. And then Sunday evenings, we meet at 6 o'clock as well. We will be starting a new Bible study that's called Follow Me. It is by David Platt. It's about discipleship, and so that's a good starting ground again. We typically do some type of Bible study on Sunday nights. And then Wednesday nights, we also have youth events. Wednesday nights, we meet at 6 o'clock again over in the Havoc House, and we do a little devotional type of topical thing. There's a lot of things that we can talk about, especially with our youth, that they are facing all sorts of different challenges in their schools and in their lives. So if you have a youth student from 6th grade to 12th grade, please plug them in, bring them here, and we'd love to have them. All right, so today, warning against worldliness. We'll be in James chapter 4, so if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to James chapter 4. And I think it's kind of appropriate that we're talking about worldliness. Just this morning, we were talking in our Sunday school hour with the youth about idols, about gods, about other things that we can possibly put in front of Jesus Christ, and how those can become a god if we're not careful. And so this morning, we'll be going through James chapter 4. Before we start, let's say a prayer. So bow with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for just your saving grace. We're thankful for the love that you've given us. Lord, I ask that you would just open our hearts this morning, that you would just fill this room with your Holy Spirit, and that you would just speak to each and every one of us, and that we would respond. Lord, we love you, we praise you, in your son's name, amen. All right, excuse me, all right, so James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. So what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Wow. I think there's probably 8-10 different sermons you could have on those scriptures right there. I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea of being considered an adulterous person. I don't like the idea of thinking that I'm an enemy of God. But the Bible is very clear that if we have these other worldly focused items above our Lord and Savior, we are in fact an enemy of God. So it brings me to a question. Who are we living for? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for Christ? So there's really only two options. We either live for ourselves or we live for Christ. Jesus did not die for himself or live for himself, but he chose to live in a manner that pleased the Heavenly Father. Unfortunately, the majority of society has chosen that the purpose of life is to please themselves. I think you would agree with me if I said that America is becoming a self-pleasing society. It's all about me, me, me. You know, what can I do to get ahead? And what can I do to be better? And don't you dare get in my way in the process. We are primarily concerned about ourselves. Excuse me. So what makes the Christian different? You know, if we are to be different, if we're supposed to be seeking after Christ, how do we do that? What items would you say that would clearly define a Christian versus a non-Christian or a world follower or a worldly person? So let's look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so, struggling here this morning, I apologize. So if we are to love one another, how do we do that? And the Bible is very clear that we are just to love the ones that we like, right? I'm to love my spouse. I like my spouse. She's pretty cool. She's very cool, actually. Just watch her reels. I like my son. I like my daughter. I love them. And so they're easy to love, right? But what about those ones that, if we're honest, there are some difficult people to love. And I think you all can relate to that. And so those situations where it's okay if we don't show love to them, right? Or does the Bible say to love one another, period? The Bible is very clear on that. We are, in fact, to show love to everyone else. And so even the non-believer, even the non-Christian, can love their spouses, can love their family, can love their friends and show love in a good way. But we're to be different, and we're supposed to show love to everyone. Just think of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. As he was dying on the cross, he was dying for the person that was driving the spikes in his hand. He was dying for that person just like he was dying for me. And just like he was dying for you. He was showing love to everyone. And so what causes fights among us? Well, first thing, if we are fighting and quarreling amongst brothers and sisters, then we are not pleasing the Lord. Look at Psalms 133, verse 1. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And so he wants us, as brothers and sisters of Christ, to be unified. He wants us to show love to each other. He wants us to have the same message that we present to the rest of the world. He wants us to bring unity together, and it is a focus point. He talks about unity through all sorts of different scriptures in the Bible. It's because it is a very important thing, and it's also because he knew how easy it was to become ununified. And so we need to make that a focal point and a point of emphasis. And so what causes quarrels and fights? Well, James provides us some very clear examples of what causes those. So if you look at James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, he talks about class problems. He's talking about the rich and the poor. And another reason is failure to tame our tongue. Whew. And then our wicked passions in James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. So all of those items cause fights and quarrels among us. And so this is James chapter 2. It says, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in a shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit right here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and between judges with evil thoughts?" And then also in James 3, 5 through 6, he says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." And so those two items right there, we probably think, well, in our modern society, I don't have priorities. I don't view people differently based on their class. Okay. So youth, I'm going to pick on you guys for a minute. Does it matter who's coming to a youth event if you will attend the event? So in other words, if I ask you to come to a youth event, does it matter, your answer of yes or no, does it matter a little bit if your friend will be there or if your friend will not be there?
Several of you are shaking your head yes.
You're shaking your head yes, that it does matter, and so you're being honest. Well, that right there is kind of the same thing. It's talking about a class issue. We have a tendency to look at people differently. The Bible makes it clear that we are not. They are all images of Christ. They are all children of the Lord. And in James chapter 3, 5 through 6, we talk about the tongue and how the tongue is such a small little member of our body, but man, it can make a huge difference. I'll give you an example. I'm an engineer by the day, and so in the last 17 years of engineering at this company that I work for, we have this client. And he's a good client. He's been very good to us as far as giving us a lot of work. We do a bunch of projects for him. Every single project, I will get a phone call at some point, guaranteed. And he will just curse me and say all sorts of things. He'll just blow up, right, about the project, about how he doesn't like this one thing that's going on, and just blah, 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 blah. Well, I've learned that whenever I get that call, if I just let him go, just let him spill his guts, within an hour, I will get a phone call. And he'll call back. He'll say, "I am so sorry for what I just did." He does that every single time. But he's not learning to control his tongue, right? Man, what a difference would be if he could control his tongue the first time. And so that's a drastic example. But what do we do in our own lives? I'm guilty of the same thing. I might be in a sticky situation. I might mumble something under my breath, or I might think it in my head because I'm frustrated. Well, I just failed to control my own tongue. And so there are no excuses for that, unfortunately. And then the third reason was wicked passions. And so here a Christian knows that he's supposed to live for the Lord, but he has caved to his fallen nature and lust only for his pleasure. And so in other words, he is living like a lost person. He has fallen into the trap of worldliness, and we are warned not to fall into the trap of worldliness. 5 and 6 again. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. If we could just learn to control our tongue. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I want the love of the Father to be in me, and I think everybody here this morning would agree with that they want the love of the Father to be in them. But James, or 1 John here, makes it clear that if we are loving the world, the love of the Father is not inside of us. And the world is passing away along with its evil desires. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. And the world is, I just read that, I'm sorry. I got a double slide here. So Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so God wants us to be different. He wants us to be set apart from the world. We are instructed specifically not to act like the rest of the youth of the world. And so youth, I'll ask you another question. Why do we spend so much time trying to fit in? We kind of talked about this morning a little bit. Society, our schools, celebrities, everybody wants us to fit in, wants us to be like them. Companies spend millions of dollars on advertising to try to get you to buy their product or try to look like them or try to be like them. And so what do we do in response? We buy clothes like them. We buy cars like them, whatever it may be. And especially for our young students, our youth students, fitting in is a big deal in your schools, with your friends. And I'm not saying that you're not supposed to fit in, but the Bible is very clear that we are to be different, that we should be seeking after things of God and not things of this world. And so God wants us to be different. And so adults, why do we try to keep up with the Joneses? Have you ever noticed on Facebook, especially around the holiday season, Facebook can be very damaging. Because on Facebook or social media, what do you see around the holiday seasons? You see, well, I got my son or daughter this. And so the tendency of the parent is, I need to get that. Or I need to get something better, or I got to do something. I mean, look what those parents are doing. They're awesome parents. I want to be that cool parent. I want to buy that cool thing for my son and daughter or whatever. And so we're trying to keep up with that. And then we turn our focus towards that instead of turning our focus on God. And so we are to be different. We are to be set apart from the rest of the world. And so the Bible offers many different ways that Christians are to be different than the rest of the world, and I'm going to go through several of them with you. And so Matthew chapter 13 says, "Be free from the cares of the world." Matthew 16 says, "Do not gain the world at the expense of your soul." Matthew 18, "Do not offend others as the world does." John 15 says, "Not be of the world." Philippians 2 says, "Shine as a light in the world." Titus 2 says, "Deny the lust of the world and live godly in the world." 2 Peter says, "Escape the pollution and corruption of the world." And then 1 John says, "Be like Christ in the world." So I come back to James chapter 4. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And we do not want to be an enemy of God. We want to be a friend of God. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit inside of us. at all times. And so how do we do that? How do we refrain from worldliness? How do we keep from falling into that trap? Well, James 4, 7 through 11 tells us. He says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched up and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Take note of that verse. It says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." The one who speaks against a brother. So he is referring to us as Christians. How often do we do that in the church body? How often do we get caught up in a situation and we speak evil about somebody else? Or we have an evil thought about somebody else? And so these are conditions that we must meet if we want to enjoy the benefits of his promises. And so there are some conditions or commands found in these scriptures, and I'll bring them out to you. They're conditions that if you meet these conditions, then you will be rewarded with the promises. And so if you look through verses 7 through 11, there are several conditions here. It says, submit to God in verse 7, resist the devil in verse 7, draw close to God, verse 8, cleanse your hands in verse 8, purify your hearts, be afflicted, let your laughter be turned into mourning, let your joy be turned into gloom, humble yourselves before God in verse 10, and speak no evil of one another in verse 11. So submit to God, resist the devil, draw close to God, speak no evil, and humble yourselves before God. Those are the conditions. And then what are the promises? Well, he promises. He said, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, the devil will flee from you. So if we draw near to God, then God will draw near to us in verse 7. God will lift us up in verse 10. And so God gives us a way to conquer this battle of evil desires. He says, if you do these things, then I promise I will do these. It's not an empty promise. God has never, ever failed on any of his promises, and he never will. He throws it in our court. If we do this, then I promise to do that. We must be willing to pursue after Christ. And we must be willing to surrender to his authority, his love, and his guidance. If left to ourselves, we will fail every single time. And so if we say, you know what? I'm really going to try this time. I'm going to be focused. I'm really going to draw near to God. And then we think we can do it all on ourselves. We're going to fail every time. We will fail every time. We need the Holy Spirit living inside of us to help us through that. We cannot do it ourselves. And so who do you choose to follow? Do we choose to follow this world? Do we choose to seek after things of this world? Or do we say, no, you know what? I'm going to follow after Christ. I'm going to pursue after Christ. Well, the word of makes it very clear that God wants us to be different. He wants us to seek after him. Matthew chapter 10 talks about the persecution that will follow if you pursue after Christ. But the end of Matthew chapter 10 talks about the rewards of following after Christ. And no matter what the cost is, no matter if we are persecuted youth, no matter if you're made fun of or challenged about your faith in school or just with your friends, the reward of seeking after Christ and following Christ will counteract any persecution. Because the reward that we will get is an eternity with our Father in heaven. Sure, there might be times on earth that we might get ridiculed or something, but those are temporary. And we will gladly give that up for an eternal time of salvation of Jesus Christ. So the rewards are worth it, no matter the cost. We are to remain steadfast, remain diligent, and intentionally seek to be more like Christ. And so my question for you today is, who are you going to choose to follow? I hope and I pray that you students and then everybody in here this morning would choose to follow after Christ. That we will make a decision in our life. And maybe you haven't made that decision yet. Maybe you've been to church, but you've never committed to following after Christ. You've never followed through with a believer's baptism or whatever it may be. Today might be the day to do that. In a few minutes, we're going to have a time of invitation. And during that time, if you've never been baptized, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would love to talk to you about that. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years. But maybe you realize that you've fallen into the trap of worldliness. You've allowed other things to become priorities in your life. Well, today could be the day to repent of that and choose to seek after Christ again. And so as the praise band comes back up here this morning, As the youth have mentioned before in our morning Bible studies and our evening Bible studies, this can be challenging. It can be really a struggle to put away things of the world. We were talking this morning about cell phones, how cell phones in themselves are not a bad thing, right? But whenever they become so much more and we are consumed by them, how quickly it can turn from something that's not really bad to becoming an idol. And then we were talking about friendships, how friendships also are a good thing. Everybody wants to have friends. But then how quickly those friendships can turn to be an idol. And then we were also talking about social media, how social media can be a good thing. But how quickly that can turn to an idol. And so my point is this morning, there are many things that we can get distracted by in this world. It doesn't have to be a golden calf that we've created to worship. It could be a cell phone. It could be a sport. I love baseball. I love football. But it could easily become an idol. And so no matter what those things are, we need to stay focused on the Word of God. And our priorities need to be that the Word of God is number one in everything that we do. And so this morning, if you want to talk to Pastor Kyle or I, we'll be down front. If there's an opportunity or a question you have about priorities in your life or worldliness issues, we'd love to talk to you. If there's a decision that you want to make this morning to follow after Christ, we'd love to talk to you about that. So bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for the love that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunities that we have. Lord, I know that we've all struggled at times with worldliness. We've all struggled with times of putting things above you. Lord, I ask that you would convict us of those things this morning, that you would reveal those to us. And then I ask that we would have the courage to follow you instead, that we would have the courage to right the ship. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that's never committed their lives to you, I ask that they would make that day be today, that you would just work in their heart and that they would follow you. Lord, whatever the need is, you know it. And I just ask that people would respond. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Amen. Time, let's give it up for the youth. All right, so tonight, 6 o'clock, here in the, where are we? Sanctuary.
Wow.
Yes, here in the sanctuary, Pastor Kyle will be doing a Bible study on the scriptures that we just studied this morning. Also, at 6 o'clock, youth will be over in the Havoc House. We'll be starting to get into the Bible study of Follow Me, which is a discipleship by David Platt. And then also for our young children, Ms. Kristen will have them back in the sanctuary. No, back in the fellowship hall. Man, this is the sanctuary. That's the fellowship hall. Please pray for me. Oh, yes, that's actually true. The reason I'm so flabbergasted here this morning is I got ice cream on the brain. And so, for Pastor Appreciation, we've been giving out candy and stuff like that. I love me some ice cream. Like, that is, oh, I love ice cream. It is so good. But today, as a parting gift, we have ice cream for you guys as you leave. So please make sure you get some ice cream. If you don't like it, I'll take it. And I'll appreciate it. Yeah, that's right. All right, so it's been great to be here with you guys this morning. Thank you for coming. I'll pray, and then we can get out of here. Lord, we thank you again this morning for just all the wonderful blessings that you've given us. I thank you for everybody that is joined here this morning or joined us online, Lord. You are an awesome, awesome Lord. We love you. We praise you and just give you all the glory. Please be with us this week as we go out to where you have placed us in the community, and please help us to be an example of Christ and to represent you well. Lord, we love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.